Well, once again, good morning. My name is Julie Klaus. I'm the Director of Ministries here at Resurrection. And today's scripture is from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 9 through 16. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Praise be to God. So today, we'll be wrapping up our Birds and the Bees series by talking about marriage. It's kind of ironic, actually. As many of you know, I am divorced. So when the schedule lined up this way, Pastor Chris said, you know, if this is too uncomfortable for you, you're welcome to preach on something else, preach about Memorial Day. But the more I thought about it, the more I really wanted to do it. I mean, first of all, married or not, I would certainly not rely on my own wisdom for this subject. And secondly, I was married. I love and believe in the institution of marriage. So I decided to stick with the schedule and finish out the sermon series. I'm so glad I did. Before I continue, let's pray. Gracious God, open our hearts and minds for the message you have for us today. Through your Holy Spirit, may these be your words and not mine. We're grateful for your presence in our lives and in this place. We love you so much, and it's in the powerful name of Christ that we pray. Amen.
Human beings were created with this amazing capacity for love, relationships, and intimacy. But it's complicated today. There's no single model for the perfect relationship. Yet the Bible does have something to say about dating, marriage, sexuality, and intimacy, and how we can best love and respect one another and ourselves. It's time to take a grown-up look at the birds and the bees.
In our scripture reading for today, it lays out very specific and straightforward instructions for how we should love each other in all of our relationships, which of course includes marriage. As I sat down to begin this process, I was thinking about marriage and decided to go online, see what people think marriage should be. What are some of the words that are used to describe marriage, things we want to strive for? And I found words like loving, satisfying, joy-filled, intimate, rewarding, peace-filled, life-giving, devoted, honoring, faithful, humble, beautiful. The relationship we have with a spouse has the potential to be the most fulfilling human relationship we have. Unfortunately, it can be the most painful, devastating, and heartbreaking too. Our culture tells us marriage should be this amazing experience. I mean, just from the list of words I read off, our expectations are pretty high going in, and rightfully so. From Disney fairy tales to chick flicks, we hear about happily ever after, finding our soulmate, the one who completes me. The laughter's from the married people. When, in actuality, nothing could be further from the truth. While our spouse may be the person with whom we experience many of those items I just listed off, the one we should go to for completeness and soul satisfaction is Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus we're made complete. Jesus brings us unparalleled joy. Jesus, who accepts us unconditionally and loves us beyond our comprehension. If you're looking to your spouse for that kind of fulfillment and purpose, you will be disappointed every time. When we enter into marriage, in order to experience the things from that list, we need to be the person we want our spouse to be. Today's scripture lays out pretty clearly the way we are to love each other. We've heard it throughout this entire series. Marriage is not about what are you going to do for me? How are you going to fulfill my needs? How are you going to support my hopes, my dreams, my aspirations? No. Marriage is all about selfless love. What can I do for you? Because if we are truly one, what I do for you, I do for me. Now, that goes against everything our culture tells us, but everything in today's world is based on a love for self. If you aren't making me happy, then perhaps I'm with the wrong person. It's all about me. Time for me. My turn. And so on and so on. And it may even seem counterintuitive for us, but if a marriage is when a couple becomes one, then supporting the other person's hopes and dreams are really supporting your own, right? In the fifth chapter of Ephesians, Paul gives us all kinds of instructions as Christians, including instructions for marriage. I'm going to read from Ephesians, the fifth chapter, verses 25 through 33, and I'm using the Message version. It says, "Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church." And don't miss this next line, "a love marked by giving, not getting." Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They're really doing themselves a favor, since they're already one in marriage. Verse 29 continues, "No one abuses his own body, does he? No, he feeds and pampers it. That's how Christ treats us, the church, since we are a part of his body. And this is why a man leaves father and mother and cherishes his wife. No longer two, They become one flesh. This is a huge mystery, and I don't pretend to understand it all. What is clearest to me is the way Christ treats the church. And this provides a good picture of how each husband is to treat his wife, loving himself in loving her, and how each wife is to honor her husband. That scripture calls us to have a God-centered marriage based on how Christ loves his church. Marriage is not about coming together. Marriage is about coming together in Christ. As we move together as a married couple, we should also be moving towards Christ. We all want happiness, companionship. We're built for it. We want to procreate, share our life with someone. But if that's our only goal going in, not only will we be disappointed, chances are we'll fail. We are flawed human beings. We're selfish and sinful. That doesn't all magically go away when we get married. In fact, so often, the brokenness in our lives is the result of a marriage or relationship gone awry. One based on our own wants, our own needs, our own desires. As with many things in life, we often have a plan for how we think things should go, relying on our own ideas or our own understanding, thinking if we follow this formula or that self-help book, the result will be a happy marriage. Don't get me wrong. There are some fantastic tools out there for strengthening your marriage. Books, counseling. But if God isn't at the center, it's a wasted exercise. Whether we've been hurt by others or suffering under the shame of what we perceive is failure, we're scarred. Every single one of us. And if we're attempting marriage on our own without God at the center, we will fail. The goal here is not a perfect marriage. There is no formula for perfection. Marriage, it's messy. There are money struggles, issues with intimacy, how to raise the kids. And it can go beyond that. Addiction, affairs, and so on. Humility and forgiveness are key. When we invite God to be at the center of our marriage and continually ask for his help in making us the spouse we need to be, we'll experience his presence in a new and powerful way. And as we begin to look more and more like Jesus, we'll experience a joy and a purpose unlike anything we've known before. The ultimate goal of marriage, then, is not happiness. It's holiness. God has provided us with the perfect example of what a marriage should look like. Christ's love for his church is beautiful. It's extravagant love. It's selfless. Because what did Christ do for his church? He died on the cross. Jesus has his own set of scars, and they're beautiful.